You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Normally, we have our long shows on Friday. However, this Friday, the entire campus is going to be closed for a conference, a district-wide conference. So students, as well as staff, are warned if you try to get in the buildings, all the buildings will be closed. Because of that, I was trying to have a long show today. Today's Thursday. However, I first wanted to get caught up in all the past shows, which I am currently completely caught up, but it doesn't look like we'll have a complete hour show. I'm going to play it by ear, and I wanted to first kind of float some ideas. And this is going to be, again, about the Republican candidates for president, and maybe even some ideas who will be the Democratic Party candidate for president. Let me say a few words about the Democratic Party first. I'm on record now that I truly hope that the Democratic Party nominates Hillary Clinton to be their candidate. And I've said on more than one show, she's in a race to either get a nice residence in the White House or a cell in a federal penitentiary. I think it's only a matter of time before she's indicted and then tried and found guilty. I have no idea what the punishment is, but given the seriousness of the crime, anyone else would go to jail for a rather long time for her handling of classified information. And really, having a private server that was both receiving and sending classified material. And let me point out, it doesn't require that classified information have a heading identifying it as classified information. Classified information is determined by the content of the email or attachments. So even if you strip out, and that's what I believe people have done, either her assistants or her stripped out the classification headings, and that itself is a crime, by the way. It's really the content that determines whether or not it's classified at whatever level. And what she did is many orders of magnitude more serious than what General Petraeus pleaded to. And what he got was, I believe, a fine of $100,000 and pleaded to a misdemeanor. These are felony counts, multiple felony counts. And just to remind you, there's a lot of speculation. Is there a second server, and does the FBI have all her emails or some of her emails? Well, I'll repeat what I've said in many, at least several shows prior to this. I firmly believe, at the direct orders of President Barack Obama, probably through Valerie Jarrett, that he's ordered the National Security Agency to target, in other words, put Hillary Clinton on the target list as being a security risk, that it would be a complete legitimate order by the president because of what Hillary Clinton did in terms of sending and receiving classified information and violating State Department procedures. And that is really a very cavalier treatment of security documents. And I think one or more of those documents probably got Ambassador Stevens killed, because there's been a lot of speculation, which I think is true, that one or more foreign intelligence agencies of either Russia the Communist Chinese, the Islamic Republic of Iran, as well as some of our allies such as Israel, the United Kingdom, maybe even Germany or France, had access, had hacked in to our server and knew what's on it, because the leaders of any country, especially high up cabinet officials such as Secretary of State Clinton, are always targets of foreign intelligence agencies. Now, what most people cannot get through their head, because they can't believe it, but it's true, the National Security Agency for over 12 years has been collecting the entire, all your emails, and it's really not only of American citizens, every citizen of the world that uses the internet and goes through the United States, as well as telephone conversations, they collect that. It's automatic. And they've built large data centers to store all that information on racks after racks of hard drives. So Hillary Clinton's messages, whatever form, telephone conversations, photographs, emails, attachments, audio, video, the National Security Agency has all that information on Hillary Clinton, as well as the entire population of the United States, and their objective is to collect everything for at least the next 100 years on the world's entire population. That's why they built and are building more data centers. You need large facilities, air conditioned, because these servers generate heat and they've collected all that information. Now, there's an important point here, because what the administration will say, as well as people that are skeptical about this, is they don't listen or read your emails. Generally, that's true. What is the exception to that? Unless you're on the target list. And there are actually millions of people on the target list, including American citizens. And Hillary Clinton, by any measure, is a national security risk. And the president was entirely appropriate and requesting from the National Security Agent to make her a target. Now, once that happens, what happens? Dossiers. A dossier is collected. What they do is they data mine their entire collection of information. They query it, and they pull out all the documents, all the messages, all the phone calls. We're talking content here. Content as well as metadata. Some people think it's only metadata, which is important, but they also have the content. So there is a complete set, or nearly complete set, of all emails that Hillary Clinton has received, both before and after and during the period when she was Secretary of State. They have all that information. And the president has said, listen, I'm going to be leaving as president in January of 2017, and I assume I will be a target of the National Security Agency as well as other foreign intelligence agencies. He's perfectly correct, and he's right about that. Let's say there's a Republican president and there's strong suspicions that some of what President Obama did risk national security. I can see a Republican president request from the National Security Agency that President Obama be targeted. And if you don't believe me, the overwhelming majority of the American people, the representatives and senators, do not agree with what President Obama, as well as Secretary of State John Kerry, agreed to with Iran. I think that agreement, I call it the traitorous terrorist treaty. And in September, when the members of Congress and senators get back from their vacations and meetings with their constituents, town hall meetings, both in the district and if you're a senator throughout the state, they're going to get a message and receive a message loud and clear. The American people do not like this agreement with Iran. It threatens the national security of the United States. It risks nuclear war in the Middle East, nuclear proliferation of weapons. And the president has already said he expects to be a target. And that's what he believes. And there's a YouTube video where he says that. And if I have time Monday, I'll pull that video and add it to it. So the bottom line is this. There is a complete set of emails as well as other communications, phone calls, any communications between Hillary Clinton and anyone in the world. And that's the danger of what the National Security Agency is doing. You see, I have no problem, and let me be very precise here. We need a National Security Agency to spy, and that's what they're doing. They're spying on the signal intelligence of our enemies, as well as some of our friends, actually all of our friends. Why? Because there are people, nations, leaders, cabinet members, generals of nations that do not wish the United States well. They're out to get us. That's why you need an intelligence agency to protect the people and the nation against the activities of, for example, a Russia, a Syria, Islamic State, the Islamic Republic of Iran, North Korea, Communist China, just to mention a few. They do it to us, and we do it to them. The line was crossed, though, when the National Security Agency under Bush, and this was a decision under Bush, targeted the American people. That's where they crossed the line, and that policy has been continued. So the question is, when is Hillary Clinton going to be indicted? First of all, I do not believe Hillary Clinton is going to quit the race because she knows what's going on. She's in a race to win the White House and really cannot pull out and will not pull out because she knows if she does, then the FBI will expedite their investigation, ultimately indict her probably before the election, and you'll probably see a trial either in 2017 or 2018. Now, if she does not get out, I fully expect President Obama will actually wait. He doesn't want to be accused of destroying the Democratic Party's chances. So he'll wait to after the election and then let the FBI investigation go through, and that means indictment. People that handle classified information that know of the laws that are broken, virtually everybody thinks she's guilty. Now, you got to prove it. Thinking someone's guilty doesn't mean you can prove it. And what happens is the National Security Agency works with the FBI and other federal agencies to make cases. You can't use the information they have, so the FBI is really pointed to where they can go, what to look into, and they're doing it. I've said several times, I hope Hillary Clinton is the candidate, because if she is, I think she will definitely lose. If she's not, within the next 2 years, she definitely will be indicted. If the Republican wins, she's guaranteed to be indicted. If Hillary loses the election, which I think is a strong possibility, her poll numbers are going down, she will be indicted as Barack Obama is leaving the White House. Remember, that'll be after the election where Hillary loses. The only way that Hillary Clinton can stay out of jail, out of a federal penitentiary, is if she wins. She has to win the nomination, and she has to win the election. Because it would be difficult at that point to go forward. Then President Obama won't pull the trigger. What that would mean is she needs to be impeached. Now, one thing is in the schedule that's very important. And I know, I believe late October, I forget the exact date, she's scheduled to be a witness in front of the House Select Committee investigating Benghazi. And they have been they have been taking testimony behind closed doors, not in the public view, of people that work with Hillary Clinton, her immediate aides, her friends, many of them sent emails. Congress has some of them, but she's going to have to testify in public. And depending on her performance, that could sink her candidacy. I said many months ago that the 2016 election will be all about trust. Do you trust this person to be president? Today, there was a poll, and I've seen several news reports on how would you describe Hillary Clinton. The words that are really rocking the Clinton administration, not candidacy, not administration, is liar, dishonest, untrustworthy. Not exactly a vote of confidence. Does that mean the diehard true believers of Hillary Clinton and wanting her to be the first woman president are going to abandon her? No. For the simple reason, Hillary Clinton, very much like Jeb Bush, has a lot of money. The Clinton Network, knowing that she's running for president, made sure that their so-called donor base made major contributions to her candidacy. As a result, very much like Jeb Bush, She locked up the lion's share of the money. And any candidate that tries to challenge her is up against that. And that includes Joe Biden. Today, there were news reports, and I forget the exact phrase, but Biden, he wants to make sure he really has the emotional energy to run. That's another way to say whether I can raise enough money to really challenge her. I don't care who the Democrat Party picks, whether it's Clinton, Biden, even Bernie Sanders, and my favorite Democratic candidate, Jerry Brown, and I'm still not counting Jerry Brown out. But Hillary is not going to withdraw from the race unless she's severely damaged. In other words, a criminal indictment is brought, or the FBI makes a clear statement that Mrs. Clinton is now a target of a criminal investigation. I need to emphasize this. The FBI, that's their job. They do criminal investigations. She is being investigated right now, but they haven't used that phrase, a target of the investigation. In other words, that is very much a political decision that the president has to make. And when the FBI has gathered enough information with the assistance of the National Security Agency, at some point in time, she will be indicted. I don't think it's going to be before the election, unless she makes a serious misstep in that Benghazi hearing that really would damage her. I'm perfectly fine if Hillary Clinton is the candidate, because I think she's going to lose. I could be wrong, but that's what I think is going to happen in terms of the Democrats. They really don't have many options. No one would, a year ago, would consider Joe Biden a candidate for president, not even Joe Biden. And because Hillary Clinton has gathered up the most cash, the most money, and remember, you need money, organization, message, momentum, and ambition. She has all of that, but she's very much damaged goods, and she damaged herself when she made the wrong decision and went to a private server mainly to hide what she was doing. She was hiding something, whether it was bribery, the laundering of bribes from foreign countries to her charitable foundation, the Clinton Foundation, Bill, Hillary, and Chelsea, that many suspect. I haven't even touched on that. And the fact that she was violating not only State Department regulation procedures, but she was not handling properly classified information. I could do a whole show on that, but I wanted to give you an update because those polls are very revealing. She's not trusted. They consider her dishonest and a liar. What does that mean? She can count on very few independents as well as Republicans, and many Democrats will simply not vote for her or not come out to vote. That's going to make it very, very difficult for her to win. Not impossible, but very, very difficult. And at any time, if the FBI goes forward and announces that she's a target, that's the kiss of death. And there's no love between President Obama and the Obama family and the Clintons, specifically Hillary Clinton. So stay tuned. September, and we're probably 50 days, 7 or 8 weeks, is going to be very interesting. She's scheduled to testify. And her attorney, as well as her immediate staff and advisors, have been questioning under oath. And part of that oath is, do you understand that if you lie to this committee, you can be prosecuted for perjury? In other words, she better tell the truth, as her staff and advisors better tell the truth, or they are subject to prosecution. And I've confirmed that all the witnesses are advised of that. If you lie in your testimony, you will be prosecuted for perjury, which is a felony, and that'll happen. So that's just another opportunity for, if she's a liar, and she is one, she might trip herself up there. She's going to have to be very, very, very careful exactly what she says. And she knows it. She's an attorney. She has hired a good attorney, but it's like going through a landmine. So it's going to be very interesting days for Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party. And if she does stumble, I don't think Joe Biden is the answer. You're going to need somebody. I think it's going to be Jerry Brown. Now, he would be by far the oldest candidate for president. And remember, there's no love between Jerry Brown and especially Bill Clinton. And he has run twice for president against Carter and Bill Clinton. So he knows what's involved. I think Jerry Brown is waiting for that opportunity. The problem is time is running out. if you truly want to give it a shot, you should do it on or about Labor Day, which is in September. So we might see one or more announcements from the Democratic Party. They're going to be following what's happening. At the very latest, they'll wait to see how her public testimony goes in front of the House Select Committee. And if she stumbles and stumbles badly, I think they will jump in. There'll be a rush. Jerry Brown, Joe Biden, maybe even Elizabeth Warren. We might actually have a race in the Democratic Party, knowing that Hillary Clinton has a long shot to get the nomination. But she's not going to pull out unless Obama pulls that trigger before and really soon on that criminal indictment and targeting Hillary Clinton. In point of fact, she already is. It's just making that announcement, and I think that's pro forma. So I wanted to say a few words about the Democratic race. Now on to the more interesting race, the 17 candidates in the Republican race. Now, I was looking at a poll. I didn't have time to study it because I was really pressed for time, but I briefly went over it. Within the next 90 days or sooner, Rick Perry, Bobby Jindal. Rick Perry was the longest sitting governor in Texas. He went after Donald Trump, and that was his mistake. You attack Trump, Trump attacks you. He's fading fast. He'll be gone soon. Maybe in September. I don't know. Gone. Bobby Jindal, a very good candidate, articulate, gone. George Pataki, gone. Lindsey Graham, gone. Probably Rick Santorum as well. Carly Fiorina is probably the only one of those lower tier candidates that might get on the stage in the Reagan Library, but her numbers are just simply not high enough. So it's not clear to me she can make the shortlist. And she's already objecting to the way CNN is what polls they're using, which tells me she already knows that even though she was the star of the early debate by far and is a very, very good candidate, she packs more information in a minute or two answer than really all the other candidates. High content, she stays on message, but she has not been able to get traction, as impressive as she is. And remember, she's an outsider, although she did run for the Senate in California. Her problem is name recognition, and really she's not in the top tier yet. And I'm waiting to see what CNN's going to do. It's going to be a little bit hard to not include her in the top 10, but her numbers are really low. They're up quite a bit, but they're still low. Someone asked me about John Kasich, and I used to be a fan of his. Ohio is a key state. The Republican Party wants to carry Ohio, and John Kasich is a very, very popular governor in Ohio. However, the John Kasich of the 90s is not the John Kasich of 2015. He would be an alternative establishment candidate for Jeb Bush if Jeb Bush continues to fall. Remember, Jeb Bush has money. He has staying power. And in a minute, I'll tell you something, though, and this is going to be a problem for Bush. I don't think Kasich is going to be hard-pressed to make the cut. And even if he makes the cut, yeah, he can win Ohio, but he's not very high in the polls. One of my four favorites has been Rand Paul, but his poll numbers are going down considerably. It's not that he's not popular. It's money. And that's why I always emphasize, you got to have mama, and the first M stands for money. And when you start to run out of money, it's hard, very hard to get your message out. And the only way you can be competitive is the days, weeks before either the caucus or the primary, you have the money to run messages on television, radio, as well as get out print messages and get out the vote. And you need an organization to do that. So even though Rand Paul has ambition and really wanted to be president, and I thought he really thought he had a very good shot at it, well, I'm as surprised as him that he has fallen so far in the polls. Now, like I said in my, I think, two shows ago, it's way too early, folks. There's not been one primary or caucus, and you need to win elections. Not polls, you need to win elections. Because the only thing that is going to get you the nomination is whether or not you have the majority of the delegate count. If you don't, you're not a factor. You can even get close and are not going to be a factor. Remember Hillary Clinton, when she started her 2008 campaign, thought it was a shoo-in. And unfortunately, Barack Obama was smarter, had a better strategy, and beat her. It was close, especially at the end, but that's what happens when you have money, or a good speaker, and a good strategy, and you have a network. That's how Obama beat Hillary Clinton. Really, it was Hillary Clinton's nomination to lose, and she lost it. Remember, politics, especially presidential races, are like tennis. It's a game of mistakes. The player that makes most mistakes loses. And Hillary Clinton has a history of making a lot of mistakes. I have never been impressed with her intelligence, her campaign skills, and the words you hear besides dishonest, liar, not trustworthy. She's not likable in public. Now, supposedly in private with her immediate group that she's working with, she's likable. But when she gets out amongst the public, I won't say she freezes, but that warmth disappears. So Hillary Clinton, I hope, is the candidate, because if she is, I think she's going to be defeated. And once she is defeated, President Obama, or he might not pull the trigger, he might let the Republican Party and the new Republican Attorney General green light the FBI and prosecute her. And I think that's going to happen. Because people that have handled classified information and know what that involves, especially top secret and above, know that Hillary Clinton, there are multiple violations here. She did not protect the national security and the secrets of this nation. She broke multiple laws, and it's a matter of time before she's prosecuted. Does that mean she's going to be proven to be guilty? I don't know. It depends on the evidence that the FBI can gather independently of the National Security Agency. But the National Security Agency and the FBI, in the past as well as now, in the future, work together. Not all the time. There's always rivalry. But when the president orders it, it's going to happen. And that dossier that the National Security Agency has developed on Hillary Clinton, parts of it will be made available, or at least the FBI will get verbally where they should look. And that's all you need if you're investigating. Hints, clues as to where information can be found and where there are violations. In other words, any message that Hillary Clinton received as well as sent over email, the internet, the web, the telephone exchanges, the NSA has is probably a very, very thick dossier, probably many files. And there are intelligence analysts going over it and have been going over it for some time. So wait and see. Okay, I've been looking at several polls. Donald Trump is in the lead. Actually, his lead is expanding. Number two may surprise you. It's Ben Carson. What's interesting, there are two people that have not attacked and gone after Donald Trump. Those two people are Ted Cruz and Ben Carson. You see, Donald Trump's mode of operation is very simple. You attack him, he attacks you. That's sort of my motivation. You come after me, try to attack me, whatever, I go after you. And I'm not talking physically, but verbally. Sometimes that could be a lawsuit or an argument or exchange of emails. But Donald Trump is from New York, and that's the way he's played the game his entire life. You don't get to become a multi-billionaire by playing nice. And Donald Trump is honest about that. You hit me, I hit you. You hit me again, I hit you harder. He doesn't believe in Ronald Reagan's rules that Republicans should not go after Republicans. He doesn't play by that rule because he knows that the Republicans that have been attacking him, including Rick Perry and now Jeb Bush, if you go after him, he's going to go after you. And that's exactly what he's doing. And why Jeb Bush is very much down in the polls, Donald Trump has made it clear he's not going to attack Ben Carson unless Ben Carson attacks him. And I don't think Ben Carson is smart enough, as is Ted Cruz. They're just going to make their case. They're not going to attack Donald Trump. Now, that does not mean that if Donald Trump has differences on policy with Ben Carson or Ted Cruz, that he might not make those differences known. But there won't be any personal attacks. And that's what I'm talking about. What I fully see happening is the momentum that Donald Trump has built up will continue into the 40s and ultimately into the 50s. Does he have a ceiling? Well, I think all candidates have a ceiling. I think he would be very hard pressed to get into the 60s. Now, why has he so much momentum? The way I like to describe it is this. You have Trump Democrats that are for Trump. You have Trump Republicans that are for Trump. You have Trump Tea Party members that are for Trump. And you have Trump independents that are for Trump. That gets you in the 40% range. Because you got to remember, many, many Republicans, many Tea Party members, many independents have given up on the Republican Party. They sat home in the last election. And many of these people have been Republicans for many, many years, but they've given up on the Republican Party. Now consider themselves independents for the simple reason that the Republican Party has become a big government party. It has violated one of the key principles of conservatism, and that is fiscal responsibility, balanced budgets. That happened under Bush, and when the Republicans controlled the House and Senate, obviously the Democrats have made it a lot worse, but the Republican Party, now that they control the House and control the Senate, are nowhere close to balancing the budget. The deficit this year will be somewhere between $400 and $500 million. And we'll know in the next 60 days, because the fiscal year, 2015 fiscal year, ends September 30th. We're just a little over a month away. And usually it takes to mid-October or late October before the Department of Treasury publishes their statistics in their monthly Treasury statement, where we'll know the magnitude of the deficit. And I'm not sure where it's going to come out. It very well might go over $500 million. We had an early indication that it was going to be, I forget the exact number, but in the $400 billion would it be, where a billion is $1,000 million. Remember, Donald Trump net worth is about $10 billion, where a billion is $1,000 million. He's very, very wealthy in terms of net worth, and he gets a very, very large income every year. He can self-finance his primary run, and I think as well as the general election. And I've heard several press reports that shortly, and I think probably before the next debate, Donald Trump will announce and pledge or promise that he will support whoever the Republican candidate is. That's not a big concession, because I think he's confident enough that he's going to be that candidate. So if he truly wants to be president, that's an easy promise to make. Of course I'm going to support the Republican candidate for president, because it's going to be me. Now, you might consider that a little arrogant, which remind me, yes, there was a poll of the American people of what the key words that are associated with Hillary Clinton. Remember, that's liar, dishonest, not trustworthy. The same poll and reports on it, I've seen it on television with my own eyes. I don't own a television, but I was in the newsroom. How do they describe Donald Trump? Arrogant? I think you can check that one off. Idiot? He's not an idiot, folks. He's a very intelligent individual. His critics in the press, left, center, and right, they describe him as an idiot. I don't describe him as an idiot. But that is the description. A lot of people believe he's arrogant and an idiot. Blowhard. I can see where a lot of people will consider Donald Trump a blowhard. He needs a little more tightening of his stump speech, sharpening of it. And I've been called a blowhard because I like to talk. Donald Trump is a talker. He likes to tell stories, and he has his stump speech down, and he's connecting with the people. Listen, if you're going to run for president, especially today, you're going to have to do a lot of talking. Everyone has their style. And what's very, very revealing, Donald Trump, last time I checked, has given, since he announced, over 70 press conferences. And if you ever reviewed the press conferences, he really takes all the questions. Now, sometimes, you know, he's on a schedule, we'll end it, but at least 45 minutes to an hour, he's answering questions, takes all questions. And he's had many of them. Hillary Clinton has had literally, you can count on two hands how many press conferences she has. And they're very, very controlled, and many of them are very, very short. So Donald Trump is welcoming questioning by the press, and when you respond to those questions, your critics will say you're a blowhard. And the same thing they'll say about your speech. Now, if you actually will go and listen to the speech, and he's getting very much better at it, and I'm not surprised, that's practice, practice, practice. Before I forget, when I was in sales, I also trained new salesmen and sometimes very experienced salesmen. And I would always say, when you're out making a presentation, you're going to get questions. They call them objections. Now, I said, get out of your head that word objection. Think of it as a request for information. You spent the time to get the appointment. You're in the process of making your presentation, and the client needs information, and you're going to get questions. Really, questions is a very, when you get questions, that's a sign of interest. So don't get defensive and don't really attack someone for asking you a question. Welcoming it is what you should do, and you should be prepared to answer those questions. Now, the other point is, occasionally we would have a new product or service, and you didn't know what the questions were. So you had to go out there and make a presentation. And you wanted to do that to hear what the questions are. What are the objections, but what are the questions? That's what Donald Trump is doing. And he's very actively doing it and making a very good show of it. But he's getting information. He's treating the press right. Most of the press will never vote for Donald Trump. Most journalists, and I underline that word, journalists or reporters or news anchors, are liberal. Today, they call themselves progressive. Probably 90 to 95% of the journalists, reporters today support the Democratic Party. They'll never vote for Donald Trump, but they will ask, if given the opportunity, questions. And Donald Trump will answer those questions. Now, last show, I alluded to the fact that Donald Trump, prior to a rally or an event in Iowa, had a press conference. And there were probably maybe 100 to 200 people in a room. Donald Trump enters. And as the protocol of a press conference, and this is, there's no published rules, but the candidate recognizes one of the people that have raised their hands. He recognizes them. That person asks the question, and Donald Trump responds. That's the professional way to handle a press conference, and any candidate, including Donald Trump, has to control that press conference, or otherwise chaos will quickly develop. You got to be fair about it, but because Donald Trump will spend upwards of an hour answering questions, and he really doesn't care what the question is, he'll answer it. We had an anchor. Remember, an anchor is considered a reporter, so-called professional journalist from Univision, Jorge Ramos. He is an activist, folks, and he stepped out of his role and really was unprofessional. He stood up. He's a short man, by the way. Rather thin, short, graying hair, stood up and started to shout out a question. And Donald Trump very appropriately said, "You're not recognized, sit down." Now, Donald Trump knows who he is, because towards the end of that exchange, he said, "Go back to Univision." But this gentleman proceeded to scream. Now, you didn't hear the scream because he wasn't mic'd. Donald Trump was mic'd. This gentleman was being unprofessional, rude, trying to cut in line. And had he not done this, at some point, Donald Trump would have recognized. But no, you got to understand where this gentleman is coming from. He's an activist. He's an aider and abettor of the criminal, illegal, alien invasion of this United States. He's been that way for years. That's not the role of a reporter or a journalist or an anchor. That's the role of a commentator. What I'm doing right now, I'm a commentator. I don't want to be a reporter, and I'm not. I provide you my views on the issues and news stories that are in the public domain today. And I choose what I think are most important and give you my take, commentary, opinion on them. Now, if you actually review the entire press conference, and I have, I actually saw it on television live. And I was really laughing when Donald Trump had his security threw Jorge Ramos out. He got very emotional, upset. But he brought it upon himself. He blew it. And frankly, why he's a hero amongst those that listen to Univision, he thinks he's the Cronkite of Spanish news. And there are a lot of people that like him. Even people that don't politically agree with him like the guy. But he was not acting like a reporter. He was acting like a commentator, really an activist. Because he has been, for years now, pushing illegal immigration. And it's a rather extreme position. And those that follow him, that are aware of this, know it. It's no secret. It's not my opinion. That's the general conclusion. He shouldn't be an anchor for the simple reason he has become an activist for a cause, and that's illegal immigration. That's why Mexicans and the elite in Mexico support him. He is encouraging illegal immigration into the country, and he went to Donald Trump's press conference really to embarrass Trump, confront and embarrass Trump, but he blew it in the sense he was rude, unprofessional, and he was kicked out. Donald Trump, because he was questioned by some of the people that were still there, well, why'd you kick him out? And he says, well, he was rude. He was screaming. He's very emotional. He wasn't following the rules. You raise your hand, I recognize you, and I will answer your question. And that's what he did for almost an hour. And that's the way it's done. Otherwise, these press conferences can get totally out of control. Donald Trump was a professional. He did it right. Now, I've seen rather really misleading press on this. Subtle, but misleading. What you should do, and I have posted it, and I need to say that, if you're a new listener to the show, the way you listen to the show is to go to my companion blog, which is prankpops.wordpress.com. And if you do that, at the very top, you'll see a picture of me in the studio, and underneath, links to the most recent 60 to 80 shows. But under that, I have selectively have a lot of the information that I looked at when I was preparing this show, including the entire press conference, as well as that early confrontation between Ramos and Trump. Now, what happened towards the end, Donald Trump said one more question. Actually, he took about a dozen more questions. But they allowed Mr. Ramos back in. Donald Trump recognized him, and then Ramos proceeded to ask a number of questions but continually interrupt Donald Trump. But Donald Trump let him go on for 5 minutes. By far, Ramos was given the chance to ask multiple questions, but he continued to be rude and interrupt Donald Trump. That's unprofessional. Donald Trump could get at most a sentence or two out, and this guy was raving again about illegal immigration. You can't do this. I'm alerting to you. I'm going to publish that. Probably the show will be published Monday. It will be published. I don't have time to edit it. And I just got the signal that I got to wrap it up. But I want to say one thing. Jeb Bush made a fatal mistake today. He sided with Ramos and said Donald Trump should have been more supportive. Donald Trump gave Ramos, treated him well, not unfairly. Jeb Bush is wrong, and I'm willing to bet Trump polls go up and Jeb Bush polls go down. With that, I have to wrap up the show with America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by prankpops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.